仙台
外国語情報番組多言語放送局の時間です。この番組は仙台観光国際協会センティアが英語、中国語、韓国語、優しい日本語の4カ国語で毎月トピックを変えて情報をお伝えしています。今日の担当はニュージーランド出身のペイジと
アメリカ出身のタイラと
インドネシア出身のアジズです。
今月のテーマは防災についてです。今日は英語でお送りいたします。 Hello and welcome to Hello Sendai. Every month we broadcast seasonal topics and information from Sentia in English, Chinese, Korean and Easy Japanese. My name is Paige and I'm from New Zealand.
My name is Tyler and I'm from America.
And my name is Aziz and I'm from Indonesia.
This month's topic is disaster prevention. Today's broadcast will be in English. As I just mentioned, this month's topic is disaster prevention. A very important topic, no matter where in the world you live. Today we have America, Indonesia and New Zealand, all countries that are quite prone to different types of disasters. Here in Japan, natural disasters are both frequent and often quite fierce, causing damage not only to buildings and homes, but also taking the lives of many. It's important for us as residents of Japan, and Tohoku in particular, to be prepared for when a disaster strikes. So I'd just like to get straight into today's topic and ask what kind of disasters frequently occur in our guests' home countries. So starting with, as is with Indonesia.
So in Indonesia, similar to Japan, 90% or like close to 100% of all the area is in the Ring of Fire. And so we have a variety of different disasters. And one interesting thing is that based on where you live, for example, if it's in Borneo, Java, Sumatra, Sulawesi, you have a lot of different natural disasters. And I think we have almost anything that you can conceive. Floods, earthquakes, forest fires, landslides. And one thing I think that's also somewhat interesting is that they somewhat rotate every year. So you'll have one very big disaster each year, but the island that it takes place also changes.
It must be very tough for Indonesian people.
It is, yes. And a lot of the times, I think people are just very aware of the situation. They're very prepared. And so when things do happen, we go into this immediate emergency mode, you could say. So for example, we call our friends, our neighbors, our family, and then we make sure, since we have this village system, right, everyone knows each other. And so what happens is that the village head will make sure that each of the households, let's say the husband or the wife, depending, can control all of the family members. And so because of that, even when disasters do happen, a lot of the times we can mitigate a lot of the damage, I think.
What you mentioned just right now reminds me a lot of the neighborhood association, the Chonaikai system they have here in Japan, where people would be part of a member of one of these associations, and this association is essentially responsible for coordinating and making sure that everybody, all these different families in the neighborhood, are all safe. So it's really interesting to hear that Indonesia has a similar thing.
How about in America? Is there a similar sort of system?
Unfortunately, I would say no. I'd say the families are very close to one another, and I know that I lived in Florida, which is a very disaster-prone area in America. We always made sure that we had a plan for our family in case of anything from a fire to a hurricane, and we always made sure that we had a way to contact each other and where we're going to evacuate to. We made sure we had supplies on hand, that sort of thing. But I wouldn't necessarily say that we have like an actual system set up like the Chonaikai, where we have to report in and go to certain places. Americans are a little bit more independent in that regard, I'd say.
I think New Zealand is pretty similar to America in that respect, although we have a lot of natural disasters, mainly earthquakes, and we have a lot of flooding recently, and drought, which is kind of a different disaster in itself. During the earthquakes in 2011, you sort of had to make sure that you and your family were prepared before you could help other people. Of course, people were helping out, getting cleaning. One big thing that came was the Student Volunteer Army, which came out of the University of Canterbury, where students would go to affected areas and they would help clean up. Have you ever experienced earthquakes in Japan? Obviously, recently we had an earthquake in February. Almost every month since then we've had an earthquake alarm. So have you experienced any other earthquakes or disasters in Japan since coming here?
I can remember in 2019, we had the Hagibis typhoon. And that was actually the first time I actually saw a typhoon, like straight with my eyes. Because in Indonesia, my part, my village, actually has less typhoons. It has more earthquakes, floods, and forest fires. And so that was also quite a gripping situation, because when we had like an alarm 2 hours before, but the thing is, I was in the middle of Sendai, right? I had some, you know, errands to do with friends, and we couldn't go back by train because one of our friends was disabled and we had trouble with that. And so we had to walk, and the typhoon actually happened during our walk back there. And so there was like a 15 minute kind of time where we were very close to our Aobayama dormitory, but the typhoon was at its like maximum level. And so we had umbrellas, and all our umbrellas actually flew away.
Yeah.
And so I think that was a pretty hot, very, very ferocious kind of experience, I think.
Yeah, we still have to come to work. We have to help out. We have our own roles in getting information out in different languages. So we do have to come to work, but it can be very difficult in getting to work, especially if you don't have your own car, or it's even dangerous to get to work, no matter what mode of transport you take.
Luckily, we've only been mobilized about 2 times, where we have to set up the Multilingual Disaster Support Center in the International Center. And like you said, we do have to go there and make sure that we can have everything transited promptly so we can put it up on Twitter. But we even have line groups. Luckily, if it's not a gigantic disaster, we don't actually have to go to work. And it's just a few lines that we have to translate. We can do that every line. We have groups set up.
Does anyone have any memories of difficult times that you experienced during a disaster, either in Japan or even in your home country?
Well, luckily in Japan, I've been fortunate that we haven't had an absolutely catastrophic hurricane or tsunami or anything which has come through so far. But in America, 1 year before I moved to Japan, we had a direct hit by a decently powerful hurricane. And it essentially, the middle of the hurricane essentially went right over my house. The winds are much stronger than what you get in Japan, and it rains quite a bit more. That essentially will knock out power for probably a week or two. I was without power for about a week and a half. And this is during the middle of summer. And it gets well above 35 degrees in Florida. But luckily, Floridians, for the most part, make sure that they have a good amount of water on hand, non-perishable foods, flashlights, batteries, radios. This is pretty much standard in every single house I've been there. Since I said that people in Florida and America oftentimes are more independent and they have to take care of themselves, everybody does have it. My father even has a generator for his house whenever the electricity goes off. So you at least want to make sure that you have the bare minimum so that your life, you actually are able to live and provide for yourself for a short period of time.
I think for me, the most vivid memory I have is in 2018 and 2019, before I actually came to Japan. So in 2018, there was massive floods, especially near Jakarta. And so my village itself, being quite close to Jakarta, also got a lot of the aftermath. And so what happened was there would be quite big floods that would enter our houses, almost to our knees, to the point that we couldn't really live on the first floor, right? One good thing, at least for my house, was that all of the bookshelves, all of the items were elevated. And so nothing became wet in that sense. But we essentially had to live on the second floor for about a month or so.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And one also big thing is that because a lot of the people in our village only had one floor to their house, a lot of people also asked us for help if they could like stay in our place for a while or so. A few of the second floor houses would become like central hubs for people to stay there. And so essentially we'd have like evacuation centers in these houses, and people would kind of live with rations for like a month or so while, you know, the water kind of subsides. And in 2019, we had quite a big earthquake. And at that time, like our houses, at least in my village, they were all safe, luckily enough. But the problem was that the earthquake hit one of the power grids pretty strongly. And because of that, the whole village was, you know, blacked out. We lost electricity, and we had to wait for that power grid to be rebuilt. And so that also took quite a long time, maybe 2 to 3 weeks. And so I kind of understood how hard it is to live without electricity, without water. I feel much more grateful after those experiences.
I think experiencing different types of disasters really does help us to empathize with others, but also it reminds us that we need to be very, very prepared so that we can get through these hard times.
And unfortunately, it doesn't matter where you live. Getting hit by a power outage is always something which can happen. It doesn't matter if you live in a wet climate where it can be taken up by a typhoon or hurricane, or in a cold climate where you get hit by a blizzard, or even like in California recently, they have a very dry and arid climate, and because of the wind blows so much, there's a lot of forest fires, and that will affect the power grid as well. So it seems like no matter where you are, you're always going to have to deal with that. So it's always best to be prepared, no matter where you live.
And how about precautions for items that you have stored? Do you have any emergency backpacks stored at home?
Yes, true. I think one thing that I learned coming here is to always be prepared for when earthquakes especially do come. Because the first time I actually had an earthquake here, I wasn't that prepared. And I actually felt quite scared because I didn't know where the disaster centers were, evacuation centers were, and I wasn't prepared myself. And so after that, I did get ready and have an emergency bag. So like essentials, flashlights, some batteries, first aid kits, some water, and other essentials.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be the same for mostly everybody. You're going to have food and water, some extra clothes. But essentially for foreigners, you're going to want copies of your passport, for instance, or your residence card. You also probably want to need a map of your surrounding area, especially if you haven't been here that long. You might not be able to use your phone in order to check. So I actually have a map printed out with all the evacuation centers nearby me. Even though I've memorized it by now, it's always good to have. And then in addition to that, you know, different sorts of medicines that you might need if you have prescriptions, it's always good to have. So I have some little gas burners that I use where I can heat up water, and I have a few packs of ramen and whatnot. So I'd say I'm, you know, based on my experiences and what I've had with hurricanes before, plus what I've been able to learn here and about tsunamis and earthquakes, I'd say I'm probably as well prepared as I can be. I really hope it doesn't happen anyway.
Yeah, all we can do is hope, really, and be prepared. But being prepared is the first step to getting through. So some other things that are also important for the house, for your home, are to make sure that you've fixed or secured everything so that things can't fall out. Knowing your evacuation route when you do need to evacuate is really, really important so that you're not. And depending on the type of disaster and area that you live in, the places might actually be different. Some places you can only go during earthquakes or fires. It's also good to imagine the kinds of disasters, which is where hazard maps come into play. If you check on your hazard map of your local area, it will have lots of different colours. Depending on the colour, it sort of shows you what risk you're at for experiencing a disaster. So making sure you can make safe choices for you and your family to evacuate as safely as possible. And lastly, it's also really good to have a plan in place for contacting family members in the event of emergency. If your family members live in Sendai with you, it's good to make sure that you both know where each other will go. Because maybe if you're at work when a disaster occurs, you might end up going to a different place. So making sure that you have secure lines of contact and also contacting family back home. Notices from Sentia. Sentia is now publishing their email magazine in Vietnamese and Nepali. Until recently, Sentia had been distributing its mail magazine in Japanese, English, Chinese, and Korean, but has now added two additional languages, Vietnamese and Nepali. Don't forget to register if you would like to receive information through this service. Let your friends and family know about the email magazine too. For more details, please check Sentia's International Relations website. Thanks for listening to this month's broadcast, and we hope you tune in again next time.